this is Palm Sunday. And, of course, Palm Sunday commemorates the triumphant entry into Jerusalem by Jesus. And it really was the beginning of the week of the Passion. It really was the beginning of the whole process of going from a triumphal entry into Jerusalem with palm branches being placed before him and all the cheers and so forth, and ended up in another celebration, and that was of his death. Because he came into the city in a celebration, you might say, and he died on a cross with even some of the same people. But though they were celebrating his death, they were hollering, "Crucify him, crucify him." So what a change over 1 week's time. But that's why we have Palm Sunday. And as I was thinking about Palm Sunday and this being Palm Sunday, I began to ask the Lord for a direction for this Sunday's service. And back when I taught the class on how to hear God's voice, I mentioned that God can speak to us in so many different ways. And one of the ways is through the Bible. And Lois and I, we read the Bible together. We try and go through the Bible at least once, if not once and a half times every year. And we just sit down and read 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 verses or chapters. And then we spend some time talking about it. And it's been just tremendous. But God has spoken to me many, many times through the Word. And I want to encourage you that as you read the Word. And by the way, I'm not here to push a certain Bible, but Pastor Jason uses the NLT, the New Living Translation, and he reads from that a lot. And I've been reading that for the last probably 1.5, 2 years. And I just want you to know that Lois and I have been reading. Of course, as a pastor, I've had to read the Word many, many times. But I've never enjoyed the Word, the reading of the Bible, like I do today, because of the NLT, the New Living Translation. I was sold on it. I questioned it when I first heard about it, but then I read the names of the men that worked on it, that were translators. I know 6 or 7, 8 of them. I went to school with 3 of them. One of them was my professor and also my cousin from Chautauqua. Hubert Livingston, who is probably one of the most renowned Hebrew scholars in the world. And so I gained a lot of confidence in that translation. And the more I read it, the more enjoyable. And I've never enjoyed reading the Bible as much as I do now. So just want to encourage you, if you want a good Bible just for reading, it's a tremendous translation. But he speaks to me through the Word. He speaks to me through the senses. I sense his spirit through the inner voice that's within us, through the inner eye and dreams and visions, songs, messages, others. And I wrote down in parentheses after others, my wife. I have a cup in Colorado that says I don't need Google. I'm married. And so Lois has been probably one of the most important people in my life as far as discussing and growing in the Lord and in reading the Word together. So I appreciate that. But one of the ways that God speaks to me, probably not the most, but important, is through songs. And the other day, I was in preparation for this message. in thinking about the direction and so forth. And I had some Christian music on, and a song came on that literally has captivated, taken over my appreciation of songs. And I want to play that for you this morning. It's a song called "What Love Is This" by Carrie Job. And the one that we're going to look at has the words on it. I want you to listen not only to the music, watch the video, but read the words. There are some songs, the message is so powerful within the words, and there are so many nuggets in this song that affect our lives. And I want you to read it or listen to it, read the words, and I want you to let the Holy Spirit speak into your heart this morning. And I'm going to kind of look at this song and pull out some of the lines that are so absolutely truthful and powerful. So let's listen to it, okay?
You never change. You are the God and you say when I'm afraid. You come and still my beating heart. You stay the same. When hope is just a distant thought, you take my pain. And you lead me to the cross. What love is this that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? And I confess you're always enough for me. To you.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I have to be honest with you this morning. As long as I've known you and we've walked together, I still struggle comprehending the depth of that love. As I listen to this song, Father, I realize that there's so much truth in it. This morning, Father, I ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds to the Spirit. And I would ask, Father, that you would assist us in opening up that heart and that mind, that spirit to you. We're here, Father, to receive from you, to gain a new understanding or insight, or maybe to refresh an old one into your love for us. So I praise you and I bless you this morning, Father, and thank you for the privilege of being able to share your word. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of those songs that you need to listen to it over and over again and let it work in your spirit. It starts out by saying, you never change. And the neat thing about that is that God never changes. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, we see this scripture that says, Christ, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that he never changes? That what he talked about before he was brought into the world and what he dealt with while he was here and after he left, all those things, he never changes. We live in such a changing society. We live in such a world that is constantly being, it's like being in a blender. You know, it's just constantly in change. But he never changes. And then it says, you are the God you say you are. I thank God for that. He says who he is, and he is who he says. We can depend upon that. It's not something we can't depend upon. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. He's someone that we can place our lives in knowing that he's going to take care of us. I never leave you nor forsake you. And I appreciate that. And then it says, another line says, you lead us to the cross. Do you know that everything that God has been doing since Genesis until the Gospels was leading us to the cross? Jesus said this, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. If I'm lifted up on the cross, if you see me on the cross, if you understand why I'm on the cross and the purpose, and as you do that, he draws us to himself. You know, he suffered for us. I don't know how, in all honesty, I don't know how to get that across. That Jesus suffered for me. He suffered for you. So when you look at these things, when you read scriptures, put your name in it. Jesus suffered for you on the cross. He took our place. You see, sin in our lives, the end result of sin is death, and what we deserved was death. We deserve God's judgment. But Jesus comes down and he takes that judgment upon himself. The reason why the Bible says his father turned away from him and Jesus said, my God, why are you forsaking me? The reason was is because all of the sin of mankind was placed upon Jesus. At that point, Jesus was a sex offender. Jesus was a murderer. Jesus was a liar. All the sins that you and I have walked through and been a part of and so much more was placed on Him. He died because of us. Then the chorus says, "What love is this?" John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world." This is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Gary, why were you so important that Jesus Christ died for you? Give me one good reason. Diane, give me a good reason why Jesus Christ should die for you. Bob, give me a good reason. Were you all so special? Were we so special that God, He just couldn't live without us? In all reality, no, all of our righteousness, the Bible says, is filthy rags. So there was nothing, absolutely not one thing about us that gave Him any cause to die for us. It was only because of the love of the Father. It was all about Him. It's His love for us. You see, we were sinners. We were people that had committed sins. We had used His name in vain. We did all kinds of things against Him. We didn't have time for Him. We didn't pay attention to Him. We didn't surrender to Him at all. We were doing our thing. And in the midst of our doing our thing and committing all kinds of sins against Him and against other people, He loved us so much. So much that His Son Jesus had to die for us. I'm going to read a scripture. It just amazes me that when I'm in the process of sharing a message, I can remember back when I had 4 services on Sunday morning, 4 different churches, a 26, 28-mile drive between them. Started at 9 o'clock and got through at 12:45. I still don't know how I did it. And sometimes I'd read a scripture, the opening scripture, and I'd preach a message. I'd get to the next church, and I'd read that opening scripture, and I'd preach a totally different message. I didn't know where that came from. By the time I got to the 4th one, I forgot I didn't even read the scripture, because I had no clue where he was going. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning of verse 6, it says, "Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to." Now hear that. He was God. He was equal with God. It's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working together to create Godhood. And so here was Jesus who was God. But he didn't think of equality with God to be something to cling to maintain, to hold on to. Verse 7, instead, he gave up, listen to this, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. See, we've got to grab a hold of this morning, people, that Jesus Christ stepped down from heaven and he gave up, I like the way this is said, he gave up his divine rights. In other words, he was still God, but he didn't claim, as he walked on earth, his right as God for us. Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. He depended upon God to work in him, to God to speak to him, the Holy Spirit to work through him. See, he couldn't do it on his own. In John chapter 5, verse 19 and verse 30, it says the same thing. He couldn't. Why? Because he had given up his divine rights. Why? So that he could become a man and experience what we do, go through all the same kinds of temptations and defeat them and beat them. And he did that by being obedient to God even unto death. He obeyed God. So what is he saying to us? If we will surrender to God and be obedient to him, we can live the same way that Jesus did. He didn't perform miracles. God performed them through him. In fact, go with me to John chapter 14. I'm really messing up my notes here. John chapter 14. I want you to, and you see it. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except me. Now, as you read that, listen, he said, I am the way. I am the way to God. I'm the way to live. I'm the way to walk. If you follow me in the way that I live, if you're obedient to God, I surrender to God, and that's how I lived, and that was the way that was given me to walk through. And so I'm the way, but I'm also the truth. I am, and the word truth is another name for Jesus. He is truth. And then he goes on, he said, I am the life. There is no other way to have eternal life but through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He's the only way, people, to God. There is no other way. Belonging to a church is not going to get you there. Just saying that you're a believer, you got to have this relationship. Verse 7. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Verse 8. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Verse 9. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking for me to show you him, or show me him to you? And then verse 10. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own. Listen to that. The words that I speak are not my own. Jesus could not give us the wisdom of God. He had to surrender to God for God to show his wisdom through him. So understand that the very words that he spoke, they didn't come from his mind, from his thinking. It came from the Father. And the Father who lives in me does the works through me. Who was doing the healings when he walked on earth? It was God working through him. Why? And he was saying, listen, if you walk like I'm walking and surrender to God and you follow God and be obedient to God, he's going to give you the words to say whenever you're in a situation where you need wisdom and so forth. And then he's going to work through you. You see, I can follow a God this morning, people, that Jesus coming on earth, I can follow that, and I can do that because he didn't depend upon his divinity. He depended upon the God that he followed to do the things in him and to speak the words to him. I can do that. He says in John 14, the way that, you know, the very things that I do, you will do, and even greater things. And we sit back and we say, oh yeah, he did that because he was God. Well, then I can't do them because I'm not God. So why tell me that I can do them in even greater things? But you see, if I live like he lived, surrendered to the Father, obedient to the Father, if he depended upon the Father for everything, my granddaughter, Emily, very intuitive. She loves spending time with God. God speaks to her on a constant basis. The other day she called and she said, Grandpa, I had a dream. And I said, well, tell me what it's about. And in that dream, there was a child. And I said, Emily, what does a child mean to you? Just in a natural way. And she said, innocence. And when she said that word, innocence, I'll tell you what, it was just like a barrage of scriptures that came to my mind. Jesus said this, that in order to get into the kingdom of heaven, you've got to come to me as a little child. He didn't say as a child or a teenager, as an adult. He said a little child. In other words, a little child is a child that is, who does it depend upon? Come on. Who does a child depend upon? Parents. It needs a mother to feed it and a father to feed it, to love on it, to change its diapers, to hold it, to caress it, to encourage it, to teach it. And God is saying this, if you can't come to me and humble yourself, we pray this prayer, Lord, in 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And you know what we do? We skip over the humble yourself and the seek his face, and we talk about praying. But you know what? If you don't humble yourself and become a little child in relationship with God, your prayers aren't going to get higher than the ceiling. See, that's what makes our prayers work. It's humbling ourselves. It's coming to the place like Jesus said, by myself, I can do nothing. See, when we grab a hold of that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, you see, it's all about Jesus. It's not about our abilities. The older I get, the less abilities I have. I'm walking up my stairway. You know, my daughter has a split-level home, and so there's about 5 or 6 steps that goes from our basement apartment up the steps into the garage. And I'm walking up those steps, and I get to the top step. And in 1961, I damaged my left leg in a football game in Ladysmith. I superextended it, and it went out of place, my knee. And it's been weak ever since. And so every once in a while, I'll take a step on doing something, and there's nothing there. So I stepped up on the second, not the top step, but the one before it, and it was nothing there, and I fell to my right. And my daughter, we have a fireplace in our apartment, and she's been burning all these sticks. So in this waste paper can, you know, one knee high, there was all kinds of sticks, and I landed on those sticks and my ribs. And I scratched myself. My whole side was bruised. And I didn't know. I know I didn't break a rib, but I sure bruised him. So for 2 weeks, I couldn't lay down. So I sat in a chair and slept. And then you hear the other day, last Tuesday, Elizabeth got a new mattress for the bed downstairs. And because when we're not there, she rents it out to Airbnb. And so she was moving our mattress up to her extra bedroom. And so I'm helping Elizabeth, and we got it upstairs, and I'm backing up. Get it in your mind, I'm backing up, and she's on there. I'm trying to pick up a mattress, and I'm not as strong as I used to be, but I got it up a little bit, and I'm backing up like it's here. Well, the two ladies that took the bed stuff off the bed left him on the floor. I don't know if it was my wife or my daughter, but I think they're trying to kill me. Anyway, I'm backing up, and all of a sudden my feet is getting tangled up in the blankets, and they're not going anywhere but the mattress, because Elizabeth was pushing. The mattress kept coming, and my feet, of course, I'm going over. And I good thing I landed on the bed stuff, the big pile of bedding, but my arm and my other rib on the other side landed on the end of the bed. So I'm walking slowly, and but that's all because I'm getting old, all right? It's interesting. He made a way to know me. John 17:3 says, this is how you get eternal life, by knowing the Father. To know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, the one who sent me to earth. He made a way so that I could know him. Jesus is all we need. What else is there, people? This line blew me away. In the suffering, he was reaching out to me. What a statement. He's hanging on the cross and he's suffering, but in that position, and in that suffering, he was reaching out to you and to me. So when you see that picture of Jesus hanging on the cross, as you see it in dealing with Easter and so forth, get in your minds and think about the fact that he was hanging on that cross, and in that position, in that suffering, he was reaching out to you and I, so that he could draw us onto himself and we could become one with the Father. And then another line, it says, he was thinking of each one of us. That just blew me away. Because again, what have we done, people? What have we done that deserves him to even think about us? Other than the love of the Father in him. God loves us and brought us Jesus. Jesus shows us the Father, and his death provides us a way to the Father. Through his suffering, he brings us to Christ. As I was going through this and working on this, I stopped and I began to think about what has been the process that has brought me to God. Every one of us here this morning, and I would venture to say that I don't know for sure, but I would say most of us have given our lives to Jesus, and he's our Lord and Savior. All right? What was the process that brought you to that? And I started looking at that old process, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what things did you do to bring me to myself, to you and to himself? And I began to write some of them down. First of all, I had a great aunt. Her name was Aunt Hilda. And Aunt Hilda was a, she stood about 6 foot and skinny as a rail, but boy, she loved Jesus. And I don't know what she saw, but she began to pray for me. I'm sure she prayed for others, but there was some. I still have a Bible that she gave me back when I was, I think, confirmed or something like that. Back, one of the first Bibles I received in here was from Aunt Hilda. And I realized that before her, there were other Christians in the lineage, okay, that prayed for her. And she prayed for my dad, and she helped raise my dad and so forth. And then God showed me that through my dad, because my dad gave his life to the Lord a few years before he died. And R.G. Letourneau from, Letourneau, you know, led my dad to the Lord. And he came home and he was just he didn't have a Christian church or that, I mean, didn't have all the training that we have more today of, but he was different. And he and I would sit and talk about the Bible and so forth, and he'd answer the hundreds of questions that I had about it. But God was in the process of bringing me to himself. And then there was the pastor at youth camp when I was 12 years old that somehow, some way, there was a thought that was put into my heart and mind through him, and I saw something special. And there were other pastors that we had that really spoke into my life. And there was a close friend in high school, Judy, that and giving me a ride home, and she shared with me how she'd given her life to Christ, and there was a hunger that was created within me, and I began to search and to try and find out how you gave your life to you, how you come to the Lord. And I guess I asked all the wrong people because I couldn't find that process. And then I went to a Christian college. When I got to this Christian college, I wasn't a Christian. I was just this angry young man, but I went there and because Judy found Christ there, and I thought, well, maybe that's where I had to go to find Christ. Now, that was just my thinking, okay? But God used that, and I got there, and there were professors and students that loved me for who I was. And they could care less about all the junk that was in my life. They just loved on me. And I began to, you know, just become so desiring, and they were happy, and I wasn't. And then there was a man by the name of Bob Bellman that became my spiritual dad and my mentor, and he taught me. I mean, his whole life, I traveled around the United States with him in meetings and services, and God was using him to teach me how to love people and how to react. I mean, it was just so much that was coming from him. And then there's the scriptures that God put in my life that just grabbed a hold of me. And then there was my wife and my children and grandchildren, all of them that mean so much. And then there was the battles, the personal battles that I went through and getting rid of junk in my life from the past and all that. God was using everything to draw me to him, to help me know him. Then I learned how to hear God's voice, and that just, boy, that just blew up, and I really, really was thoroughly enjoying that, and I love it today. This morning on the way over, I was just talking with the Lord about the service, and he was sharing things, and it was just one of those special times. And then there were the hundreds and hundreds of people that I came in contact with. People like yourselves. My first church in Kentucky, there were a lot of people that really spoke into my life, but there was one couple, the McFarlands. McFarlands, they were probably 5 foot at the most. In their late 70s, early 80s, they came. He would get out of the car in the morning, he'd hobble over and open the door for her. And she'd get out and they'd hang on to hands and then they'd come in the church. They kept hanging on. You know, I thought, well, he's helping her up the steps. No, they just loved each other. It was almost embarrassing. I mean, they just loved each other. But God spoke to me about this is marriage. This is a relationship between a husband and wife. And I can remember, that's what I want. That's what I want. And even today, I've got that, by the way. I have a wife that is just precious. On me sometimes, but precious. But I remember back to the McFarlands. And again, there's so much more that God did. That was my process. What was your process? How has God brought you to himself? What did he use? I venture to say this, that everything that's happened in your life, God has somehow used it to bring you to him, or wants to use it to bring it to him. See, and that's what's important, people. See, Jesus provided us a way to God, a way to get to know God. So what has been your way? I'm going to have this song played again. Because I think, in my spirit, I think this. I think there's some of you this morning who are going through some interesting times. I think there's some of you this morning that, yes, you say, I'm a Christian. But maybe your Christianity is just knowing about God. Maybe it needs work at knowing him. See, there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. There's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. What does he mean to you this morning? How important is Jesus in your life? Are you following him? Are you obeying him? Have you surrendered your life today, like we should every day, to the Jesus, as Jesus did? It said that he surrendered him life. He became like a slave. He surrendered himself to God and said, God, you tell me what to do and I'll do it. And you know what? Later in that verse it says, and he got to the place where God touched him, and God raised him up to the fact his name was above all of the names, and every knee should bow. You know when that happened? It happened after the resurrection, where he went to the Father to make an exchange for my sins in God's forgiveness. And at that point, the Bible says that he went up and God gave him back, and he took back on himself his glory and his power. He took back on him his divine stand. All the time till then, he was just giving us an opportunity. So where are you this morning in your walk with Jesus Christ? This song has an unbelievable message of God's love. What love is this? What kind of love is this that was cause a God to love you and I in spite of all ourselves? What kind of love is this that would reach out through the person of Jesus Christ to draw us to himself so that he could forgive us and cleanse us, and we could have a living, breathing relationship with God the Father, with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit? Not just knowing about them, but knowing them. That's what he wants, people. So as you listen to the song again, forget about the people sitting next to you. Focus in on what's being said. Listen to the music. Listen to the words. And if God speaks to your heart, do something about it. If you need prayer and want to have somebody pray with you, I'm here. Jamie will be here and Sandy and so forth. If you need prayer, we're here to pray with you. But people, don't just wash it aside. Let this minister to you. All right? Go ahead. Thank you.
You are the God you savior when I'm afraid. You come and still my beating heart. You stay the same. When hope is just a distant thought, you take my pain and you lead me to the cross. What love is this that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? And I confess you're always enough for me.
Thank you, Father. Even though we can't comprehend the depths of your love, we can experience it. Thank you for the process that each one of us has gone through, of how you've taken everything in our lives and worked it out for our good. I think, Father, back to my father's death. And even though it was a difficult time then, today it is one of the greatest expressions of your love for me. And you gave me the privilege to be with him. And you taught me your mercy and your grace. And Father, I pray that each one of us here this morning will stop and take a real good look at everything that you've done that has brought us to the place of knowing you, of experiencing your love and your mercy and your grace. I pray, Father, a blessing upon each person here this morning, each family that's represented. I thank you, Father, for this church, this family, body of believers that are here. I thank you, Father, for our pastor and his wife and his family. Father, I pray that you bless them as they take time and be a family together and just enjoy a few days by themselves. Anoint them, Father, and pour life back into their being. And I thank you, Father, for all that our pastor means to us. Continue, Father, to speak through him and in him. Continue, Father, to give him wisdom and direction for our lives. And Father, today as we go to our homes, we go with a deep appreciation for the fact that in the center of your suffering, you were thinking of me. You were thinking of every person here this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for that. I give you praise and I worship you and I honor you today. And I love you, Father. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.